Grace, peace, mercy from Christ our Lord and God of heaven. As we look at God's word this morning, it's in the epistle lesson, because there's lots of stuff to unpack in this epistle lesson. And we look at toward the bottom of our text, and it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. As we think about our life and as we travel on the path that God has for us, we look at that path and all of a sudden we can't do it ourselves anymore. We need God's help. We need God's help to carve out the path of life. We need God's help to help button our shirt in the morning or to brush our hair. I want you to think, not of that, but I want you to think about prayer. Because prayer is something we just don't have enough of. We rise up in the morning, we put the coffee on, we put the toast in the toaster, or if you do, or you take the cereal out of the refrigerator, and you have your breakfast, and then you go about your day. And what is missing? Missing is being in God's fear, being with him in prayer, because that's the most vital part of our life as Christians, other than believing in Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Prayer is part of our life, and praying for each other as the Spirit intercedes. Because when it comes time for prayer, we just don't know how to pray. The disciples said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know how to pray. Teach us how to pray. So we too, as the Lord's disciples, in this year, in this community, in this church, are saying the same words. Lord, we don't know how to pray. Teach us how to pray, because we are weak and we are in need of help. When I first took the call to International Falls in January of 1991, I took the call and I didn't wear glasses at the time. All of a sudden, we had to take a driver's test. Even though we have been residents of Minnesota for years and years and years, because we are away from Minnesota for 8.5 years, we had to take another driver's test. We had to sit down and take that written test. And so Karen got the driver's manual, and we started going through it, and I started pushing the book out further and further and further, and I couldn't read it. I couldn't read it. So I had to make an appointment with the eye doctor, and didn't know who he was, but I went down to his office and I went in. He said to me, as he learned about my inability to read, he says, you just need a little help. And so he gave me a pair of reading glasses. And because I didn't really want the reading glasses, he cut it with gray. He had gray in it. It was terrible. I couldn't read anyway. And so I went back to him and he said, oh, you need just a little more help. That's what we need in our prayer life, is just a little more help. Lord, send your Spirit. The Spirit we received in our baptism. When the pastor said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit was given to us at our baptism. But we seem to relegate the Spirit in the background of our lives. Yes, we know and appreciate God's, God the Father's creation, even though the Son and the Spirit also were at creation. And we also know about Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who suffered much for us, who died and rose again to give us life everlasting and the forgiveness of sins. Yes, we know those two parts of the Godhead. But the Spirit? What's the Spirit? How does the Spirit really react with us in our life? Paul said to the Corinthians, as he wrote his letter, he said, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And when you read Luther's third explanation of the Creed, he says, I cannot come before the Lord because except by the power of the Holy Spirit who draws me to the Word, draws me to the Lord. So it is with our lives. The Spirit is working, and that Spirit takes stubborn people, you and I, and comes into our lives and draws us closer and closer to Jesus as Lord and Savior, because we need that little help. We need that little help, not just believing, because the devil is there pounding on our hearts and doors. This morning when I sat down for my devotion, for Sunday morning, this gentleman who wrote this prayer book, he has three lessons: the Old Testament, the Epistle, and the Gospel. And the Old Testament was Genesis 3. Verses 1 to 19. And I said, you know, I just don't want to read 19 verses of Genesis 3 because I know what happens there. I know about Adam and Eve being created and all of a sudden they pick the fruit of the tree and find out they're naked and everything else. I know what that is. But reading it sometimes, because it really tells us what we're like. And God says, who told you you were naked? And Adam says, you know, it wasn't me. It was the woman you gave me. And God looks at the woman and says, why did you do this thing? And she says, you know, it wasn't me. It was the serpent who beguiled me, who tricked me, who tempted me, and I fell. That's the way we are. And as we fell in our sin, we just don't know how to open up our lives to God because we say, God, you know, I'm a sinner, and I can't come to you. But we can. We can by the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's what God gave us, is that Spirit who helps us, who's there in our weaknesses, who's there in our failings, who lifts us up and says, you know, servant of God, what kind of words do you have that I can form in a prayer and bring to the throne of grace? What things do you have that you are concerned about? What things that you need to pray to God for? I'll take your words. They're too deep for groanings, but give them to me and I will form them in prayer to God the Father, so he knows your needs. God knows our weaknesses. He knows our failings. He knows when we trip up. He knows when words spew from our mouths that aren't very nice. And if you want to know about that, read James chapter 3. James talks about the tongue being a horrible instrument. But the Spirit knows that. And he still comes to us. He still comes to us in the Word of God to lift us up and encourage us in our life. And to take those words, those thoughts that we have for ourselves, for our spouses, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our nieces and nephews, and all down the line, those people who we care about, person that's drinking coffee alone at the coffee shop, the barista who is brewing that coffee. And then you probably heard about the tragedy on Lake Pepin this last week, where three people were killed. And the community is mourning the death of those three people. See, you know the needs of others. You know the weaknesses of others. You know the trials and the tribulations that they are going through. And you know that the Spirit is there to help you, to help you with the groanings that are too deep for words, to form them in a prayer. And you see, that's why I picked What a Friend We Have in Jesus as our hymn for the day. Because I struggled with that when I was putting this service together a couple weeks ago. And I said, you know, we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to look at prayer. We're going to see what that is in our life. We need to have a word, a hymn of prayer. And I started looking through the hymns and everything, and I started playing them on my phone so I could get the tune, and I couldn't sing any one of them except What a Friend We Have in Jesus. He knows our needs. He knows everything about us. And that's why he says, Paul says, you know, the Spirit is there to take all your groanings, all those things that you have that you can't find the words. The Spirit finds those words for us. That's what's so neat about this word within the epistle lesson today. Because Paul is writing to these people at Rome, these Christians who are facing many difficult things in their lives. They're running away from the Roman soldiers because they know that if the soldiers catch them, they will die. They'll die for their faith that they have in Christ Jesus. Here, we don't have that happening. Well, we might someday. Somebody will take after those Christians who believe in Jesus Christ and slay them. And you see, that's what Paul is writing to. He's writing to the Christians in Rome. He's writing to you and I who are here in Byron, Minnesota. And Paul has those words for us today. That the Spirit comes into your life. The Spirit leads you in devotion. The Spirit leads you to read the Psalms, the hymns, and all of those spiritual songs and bring them together in your life. And this is what God does through the power of the Holy Spirit, because He guides us. And as He guides us, He uses you in the lives of others to tell others about Jesus, to tell others about this powerful message that Paul writes to the Roman Christians and writes to you. He uses you with the words to speak at the opportune time to speak it and to show forth Jesus as Lord. May the Spirit guide and continue to be in your life this day and always. In Christ's holy name, amen.